episode of Real Beings. I'm your host, Sanjana.
And I'm Ravi.
And this week, we have a very exciting episode. We're going to be talking about toxic friendships. We've got a lot to unpack here, but before we begin, do you want to get started on how the week was last week for you?
It's funny because usually we get to this point and I'm like, oh shit, what did we do this week? So it's a good reflection point. But this week, my mum actually moved houses.
Yes.
So she's moved from a 3-bedroom apartment to a 4-bedroom house.
Yes.
And yes, it's just one person moving. And although she's got a 4-bedroom place, it's because she runs obviously her online store. So she thought it'd be a great idea to have a lot of that stock in house as well. So yeah, we've been sort of helping her move. She had obviously the removalist do everything, but mm-hmm. you know how it is, you know, there's boxes and things to be moved around and different ideas. So yeah, that's pretty much taken up
all
of last week.
That's all you've done last week.
Well, I mean, apart from working as well,
yeah.
It was just whenever we had time, then we were helping her do her
yeah.
thing. But I think she's settling in now, which is good.
Yeah, nice one. I think for me, I went out with a friend on Friday night. Yeah, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I'm trying to sort of hang out with one friend a week just so, you know, sanity purposes as well, just to get out of the house and just, you know, debrief and just chill out for a little bit.
Basically, she doesn't want to hang out with me as she got over hanging out with me for 7 days. So
no,
you gotta find someone else.
No, it's not that. The thing is, right, we obviously live together. We work at home as well. So I always obviously see you and whatever downtime we have, like we spend with each other. But I just wanted like a different perspective, you know.
Plus, I'm not a chick. That's
yeah,
what
exactly.
You have to
oh,
say.
Yeah, yeah. You're not a chick. I mean, I do have like, you know, my 3 best friends and literally like I hang out with them all the time. But I think lately I feel like I'm on a bit of a hunt to find more friends and perhaps people who share similar interests to me as well. So, you know, in terms like business, money, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I hope the people who I'm hanging out with aren't listening to this podcast. Like, I'm on like an agenda to find friends.
No, I don't think it's an agenda. I think everyone goes through it where you sort of not so much outgrow. Well, yeah, I guess you outgrow some people around you. And I guess it's a perfect segue into what our conversation is today, where you don't actually have to feel bad. Like even how you're approaching it now, you're like, shit, you know, people aren't listening. Like that's a weird thing to say that I'm finding friends. But, you know, in your 20s and 30s, I think more people should be putting themselves out there, getting aligned with the right people and finding people they get along with.
You're so right. Because, you know, when I first actually messaged my friend, she's probably listening as well. So I messaged her and I just felt like I was dating again. Like it was so weird. I even told you, remember last week? And I was like, oh, I don't know how to message this person and be like, oh, hey, like I've known you for quite a while, but I wanted to like hang out with you. Can we go to this place? I felt so awkward, but yeah, it had to be done. And I'm so happy that I did do that because now I have like a friend.
Yeah, no, I think knowing both of you as much as I do, obviously, I knew that you guys would get along. I think it's just a matter of making time. And so initially it might feel weird that you have to approach it in that way. But when you're actually together, you guys had a great time, didn't you? Where'd you guys go?
We went to Barangaroo. So we tried out the tea house, which, look, I was really excited for it. The ambience, whatever you want to call it, was really nice. We sat in one of those dome sort of thingies, which was cool. But the food was a bit of a letdown. I mean, I've been to another restaurant in the Crown Building as well, and I feel like it's priced all right. I mean, it is expensive, but in terms of what you get for the price, I think it's justifiable and the flavors are amazing. But this place, Tea House, not really a fan, to be honest. I kind of left there hungry and flavors were probably not where I was expecting them to be. But I mean, look, we had some wine, we had alcohol, so that sort of made up for it. So that was all good. But yeah, that's a little bit about me and my weekend. Other than that, it was a gloomy weekend. It was raining all week, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I think it's cleared up a bit today. We're shooting this on Monday, so you guys are hearing it today. And so yeah, the weather's looking okay, but I think a few areas have been, you know, flooding again.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Like there's one area in Parramatta, like we used to live near Parramatta. And the thing is, they've got like this wharf there, or like a ferry wharf, I suppose, or river.
It's just Parramatta River.
Yeah, and that's been flooding ever since you were going to school.
Oh,
so it's been over 10 years.
I feel like, or even more than that, like they just haven't fixed it. It's just,
it blows my mind. And I think they're now like getting a powerhouse museum like right next to it. So you're going, shit, man, you guys are going to flood that thing. Why don't you guys fix this first and then do that?
I don't understand. Oh, anyways. Let's jump into this week's episode. We're talking about toxic friendships, how to identify a toxic friendship as well, and how to actually get out of one as well. So let's get started. Now, in terms of toxic friendships, I've actually read a bit of a quote, or a statistic rather, where 85% of women and 75% of men have actually reported being in a toxic friendship at some point in their lives.
Whoa. So that's massive.
Yeah, it's a really high number. And it just means that a lot of us have gone through it.
So does that mean that people have friends that they know are bad for them, but they don't know how to tell them directly, like, I don't want to be friends with you?
Yeah, it could be that, or they just choose to stick along with them and they don't realize they're in a toxic friendship as well.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. So I thought like this episode was quite fitting because a lot of us have gone through it, right?
Yeah, I guess based on those stats, it seems like every third or fourth person is definitely going through something similar.
Yeah, and I feel like you can relate, right? You've gone through toxic friendships.
I would say that I wouldn't class them as toxic friendships. Mm. I would say that I outgrew people and I found it hard to then distance myself from them. Mm. But yeah, I don't think it was toxic in that sense.
Okay, yeah.
What about yourself?
I feel, similar sort of vibe. I mean, none of my friends have been, or ex-friends have been really malicious or, mm-hmm. Out there to get me or whatever. But it's probably the lack of them being malicious. It's like them being the opposite, as in they're not giving enough in a friendship. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I guess that's like, friendships or relationships, I think they're both classed as the same thing, right? Mm. Where if you've got a toxic relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're then going, oh, like this person's not good for me. But as soon as you're going, oh, it's just a friend, it's fine, or even family. Mm. Like I would go as far to say there's people in my family that I don't talk to anymore.
True.
And that's because they just weren't good for me and my surroundings. So I think for me personally, I'm probably a bit harsh when it comes to these sort of things where it's sort of like very cutthroat, black and white, where if you are coming into my circle and you add negativity there or you're just complaining all the time, I don't like listening to that. So, once or twice, it's going, yeah, okay, cool. Can we change the subject? But if you're going to do it the third or fourth time, I'm probably not going to hang out with you again.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that. So I want to get into a little bit of not a game, but basically just give you guys some signs of toxic/ending friendships, which maybe we can sort of share our experience as well. So the first one is a sign of a toxic relationship, are people who flake last minute, or they don't make an attempt to make it to a friend catch up, especially if a boy is involved. I know from like a girl's perspective, a lot of girls end up, when they get into a relationship, they sort of forget about their friends and then they sort of flake last minute saying that they've got something on. But then I know, and like obviously my friends and I have spoken about it, they're actually meeting up with their boyfriend, right?
I
think and they don't make an attempt to actually catch up, and that really pisses me off, to be honest.
Yeah, well look, I think early in my 20s, my past relationship, I was a bit like that, where I just prioritized my partner and that was it. And at the time, it sort of felt like the right thing to do early on. Mm. But then after you got through like a year or 2 years and you started realizing the closest people to you are sort of getting more distance and they're hanging out without inviting you anymore because you're saying no every time they invite you, why would they invite you again?
Yeah.
So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent as well, I was like that as well, where a lot of my friends had actually told me that my relationship wasn't good for me, but I sort of didn't really listen to them until obviously later on.
And I think that's why like what we have now works really well, because if you want to hang out with your friends, you're hanging out with your friends. I don't say anything. I think it does help that where we are in terms of our relationship, we're mature as well as people, plus we live together, so we have a bit more I guess contact, versus when you're in a relationship for the first time, you're seeing them like once or twice a week, you're sort of going, do I see my partner twice this week, or do I go no to them and hang out with my friends once this week? So it is a bit difficult.
The next one is that your friends, or if it's like a toxic friend or an ending friendship, they don't actually initiate any plans to hang out. So you're kind of giving more than what you get back. And this is something that I definitely felt like. I've got three best friends at the moment, and it used to be a friendship of six of us, I think. And we felt, and especially me, like I think I voiced it quite a bit as well in the friend group as well. I just felt that I was giving more than I was actually getting back in terms of organizing, catch ups, organizing dates. And it just gets kind of annoying, right? Like you're putting all this effort in and then, people are just not attending, not rocking up, and you almost feel like they don't care.
Yeah. No, I think you ultimately get to the point where you're sort of going, well, I'm just not going to invite you anymore.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with you guys. So now it's like whoever was hanging out back then was mainly you four. Mm. And now it's still continued to be you four.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you had any examples of that or?
Yeah, I think, you know, because I pretty much had my school friends straight out of high school. I went to a different uni altogether, right? So they all sort of hung out a lot more than I did, and I made some new friends and whatnot. And then I was working, obviously. But what I found was because I was exposed to different people, different thought processes, different thinking, when we all caught up again, I was coming with like new ideas and like a new way of thinking, but they were still stuck with the high school mentality and all of that garbage. And so... You know, it was great for the time we were there during high school, but I think I outgrew them a lot quicker just because of my circumstances. Mm. And in that as well, I was probably that person that never initiated things. Okay. I was the person who would always flake. And so I was probably the toxic person in that friendship.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
But then I was putting a lot of my effort into a different friend circle because I felt I had more in common with them. That's probably where I was in life. So in one group circle, I was like the bad dude. But in another, I was like a fresh, you know, energy that came to that group.
So then what did you do about that? If you were the bad dude, did you realize that you were the bad dude back then?
I think I realized I didn't obviously class myself as the bad dude. I just felt like, you know, I don't really want to hang out with you.
Mm.
And so I guess at early 20s, you're not really having the upfront conversation with friends. You sort of just go, yeah, they're just going to stop inviting me. I'll stop going and then see you later.
Mm.
So you sort of hope that it just goes separate ways. And I think that's actually a good thing if both, you know, parties realize, hey, this is not right for me. It's harder when you definitely don't want to hang out with them and they still want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And they bring negativity or they're toxic. That's when it's difficult.
I feel like that's more so in a case of a relationship, right?
Well, it could be with friends as well. I think one-on-one friends, if you've got someone that really wants to hang out with you all the time.
Or they don't have any other close friends.
Yeah, correct. So they rely on you being that person that, you know, their mother, their father.
Support pillar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and so I think that's when it becomes really difficult to, you know, sort of break up as friends.
Yeah, right. Okay. Moving on. What about friendships or friends that don't support you in your endeavors? So basically what I mean is, for example, for me, I'll give you an example. So I've obviously shared a lot of things that I've done in my life on social media, right? And I don't expect it from my friends, but they've gone out of their way to help support me and share it with their audience online as well. And I had one friend who never shared anything of mine, but then I later found out that she had shared something of another friend and supporting her in her business, but not supporting me in my business, which is something that I don't really agree with, because I feel like if you're friends with someone and these are your like ride or die friends, you'll be willing to do anything for them and even without asking.
Yep.
And it sucks, like, you know, if she hadn't shared it, that's fine, like that may not be her as a person, but the fact that you've gone and shared someone else's stuff,
way to do it.
It doesn't make sense for
me. Look, I agree, and I think on that point it was probably almost her way of saying, well, I'm closer with this group of friends than I am with you.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, because I think the content was very similar to what you were sharing, what you were doing and that other person was doing too. So it couldn't have even been, oh, like, I don't support this type of work or this type of content. It was very similar. So in that, I guess, situation, I feel like it was more so that she didn't really feel as connected to you anymore.
Okay.
And that's why you guys don't hang out anymore, which is fine.
Yeah, and it might actually be something like maybe my own fault as well, that I probably thought that she was a close friend and maybe she didn't think of that in her mind, that she wasn't close. So that could be my wrong.
Well, I guess, it's like the opposite of me being that bad dude.
Yeah.
I didn't feel connected to them and it was obviously mutual for them as well, going, oh, I think he's outgrown us and whatnot. So let him do what he needs to do.
I didn't think of
but
it like that.
Yeah, if you see it from the other perspective, she's, you know, I've met her and she's a really nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys may not connect on as many things. So it's sort of going, I've held on to this and like that person's a bad person. But in reality, just you guys outgrew each other. You guys go down different paths.
Yeah. Like here I am thinking that maybe I outgrew her, but she may have outgrown me.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just the, you know, there's a lot of friendships that get created out of convenience, whether that's the workplace or even from school and uni. And I think, you know, that's such a high school sort of mentality that you move forward in your 20s. Like, oh no, like we used to hang out. Like we should definitely keep hanging out. But in reality, if you guys are doing two different things and whatnot, then, you know, you guys should probably go your separate ways.
Yeah, exactly. Also, given the day and age that we're in now, the group chat sort of vibe, you know, if one person's contributing or a couple of friends are contributing and one person's not, you kind of get the idea that they're probably not interested or... they've they've got, you know, other things going on and they don't want to contribute, and they're just absent in general and not part of the group.
Yeah, look, I think I used to find that super annoying. And I'm like, freaking hell, like, can you just respond? But then I realized, as, you know, I've grown up a little bit as well, that, you know, people have other shit that they do. You know, for me, I don't prioritize certain things. I don't go out of my way to meet new people. I've got my set, you know, group of friends. If they don't respond or I don't hear from them for 3 months, I know that when I do catch up with them, it's going to be like, we never left, right? Mm-hmm. There's no hard feelings. There's none of this, or like, you know, you could have called, or I could have called too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, we had life happen.
But then, you know, if you don't message for like a couple of months and then you meet up, would you not feel like, oh, maybe I should message that person and be like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going, separately to the group chat?
Yeah, you could. But I think it's like, I don't know, maybe it's the dynamic of guys and girls. I feel like girls can often not talk to each other and then suddenly they're like, we're not friends anymore.
Oh, yeah. We overthink it a lot.
Whereas guys, like I know there's people that I could literally, I messaged one this morning and I haven't spoken to him, and I was expecting to call him as well. He's probably listening as well. And I was supposed to call him like 2 weeks ago. I didn't call him. And then I was like, oh shit, like I only remembered like 2 days ago. So I messaged him. He didn't respond for a day. And he ended up responding today, and we messaged back and forth. So in that case, I feel like you would probably, I don't know if it would be generalizing all females. I'm just saying in your case, you might have seen that and gone, well, you know, I tried calling you. You said you were going to call, but it's been 2 weeks you haven't called. Are you not interested?
I feel like that's something that, yeah, I have done in the past and I have like, you know, thought of it that way. And I feel like a lot of girls can relate.
Yeah, look, I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people think it. But as guys, we're so like one-dimensional when it comes to these things. I'm just like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I just missed out. Like, I forgot. And he's like, yeah, no worries. Let's hang out tomorrow. And you just make it happen. You know what I mean?
What's with that voice? Oh, yeah.
Let's makes it sound so dopey.
I feel like that's how you guys actually talk. Like, hey, man.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what about, so another sign of a toxic or ending relationship or friendship is that it's just awkward to talk to them. You can't feel, or you don't feel like you can freely talk to them, and you might not be yourself when talking to them.
Yeah, look, I think you realize over time that life's too short to like make up shit and be fake. Mm-hmm. So if you've got people around you that you feel like you have to be a particular way with, yeah, you probably got to delete them. Like, you got to be cutthroat with it. Have the people that you can be. I can be myself in front of you. I can be myself in front of my brother and my family and with my closest mates.
Mm.
That's when you know you got the right people around you. Mm-hmm. If you're suddenly having to put on a front, I mean, what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, but you know what? It's actually hard for people to realize that they've changed as a person. Mm. Like a lot of our close friends, you know, even family have gone through relationships where they don't realize they've changed as a person.
Mm,
unless they
true.
Come out of it, then they like take a step back and they realize, oh yeah, that wasn't me.
So but I guess hard. That would be different for if you, we're sort of talking on the sense that, you know, there's no relationship involved. You just have to put on a front every time you meet them. And then after hours, they're a totally different person. You're like, well, you got a hidden agenda or some shit.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose the whole love aspect. Yeah, you love your friends, but it's not that kind of love in a relationship as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And the last one as well. So some who don't apologize and they think that they're actually right when things have gone wrong.
Yeah, I think this is a more just relationship basis, not just a friendship thing. Mm. I think if you're in a relationship and one person thinks they're always right, you've got an issue, because no one's ever always right. Like even between you and I like to think I'm right most of the time, but I'm not, you know? And so apologizing or showing your way of accepting those things, I think is important. I mean, I've got it with my mates as well. I'm sure you've got it with your girlfriends too.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so there's obviously that saying where you're the average of the five people that you hang out with, right? And I feel like it's so true. And as you go through in your late 20s, early 30s, we're realizing it a lot more where, you know, let's say, for instance, our Apple Watch, right? Mm. So I ended up getting an Apple Watch for my brother for his birthday. You ended up getting me the Apple Watch for my birthday. And my brother's girlfriend also has an Apple Watch. So we're all on the same sort of ecosystem, right? And so what it was in the beginning was, I was sort of comparing myself with just Sanjo, and I'm going, okay, cool. She's worked out this much. I've worked out this much, but we're totally two different body types, right? Female, male, especially with the types of workouts we were doing too. Mm-hmm. So I almost felt like it wasn't a good comparison. It wouldn't sort of motivate me. But then my brother got it and suddenly I'm going, shit, he's hitting his goals every single hour. I've got to keep motivating myself to keep going.
Yeah.
And I think that is just the fitness element.
Yeah.
But when you're in an environment where you've got people that sort of, some are, you know, sort of lagging behind, some are ahead, you sort of use that environment to go, how do I learn to not only just upgrade myself, but also mentor some of the other guys in the group? Mm. And suddenly you're all growing in all aspects. Mm. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if we think about it, like the five closest people around you, even if you guys at home like do an exercise where you think about the five closest people around you, and you think about the average, so you think about each person and their positives and negatives,
mm-hmm.
and then if you average it all out, those positives and negatives are going to be what's in you as well, right?
Yeah, that's so true. It should reflect.
Yeah, it should reflect on you. So for example, if I was to think who are the closest five people around me, it would be you.
Yep.
It would probably be my brother. My mum and my girlfriends.
Yep.
Right? Now, if I was to sit down and actually analyze this on a piece of paper, down positives and negatives of each person and actually analyze it, get the average, a little bit of that's going to trickle into me as well. And that's who I am as a person.
So true.
You guys should do this at home and try it out.
Yeah, you should definitely try it at home. You know, if you're listening with your partner as well, like, you know, include that. Like, have that conversation and you're going to realize there might be that one toxic person or one negative person that's in the group and you're best to get rid of them. Like, I know that it sounds so bad, but you're probably best to get rid of them. And I think even with my friends, you know, a lot of the people that I hang out with, you know, there's like four or five of them. I didn't actually hang out with them despite us going to school. Mm. So we went to high school for like 6 or 7 years. And then after that, I went to uni, they went to work.
Mm.
But we didn't hang out because they were more interested in going out, getting tables, you know, doing other things. And I went down the path of, oh, like I've got to be a good Indian boy and like do shit, right? And then what ended up happening was because I ended up running my own business, they actually started their own side hustles that became their main businesses. And now the average of the five people I hang out with is they all run their own things.
Mm.
And so we're able to connect on so much more. Mm. So it's very obvious that like as you go through different life stages, those five don't necessarily need to be the same five you move on with.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, for me, I feel like I've had the five same people for quite some time now, and that hasn't really changed. So yeah, I am, you know, as I said earlier, I am looking at other friendships and other people who maybe better resonate with me and my likes and my dislikes and how I can get the most positive sort of impact from them and make that like shine on me as well.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that you could end up meeting someone, being friends with them for like 3 weeks and actually feel more connected with them than you did with someone you've known for 5 years.
That's true.
And I know this example so well for you because when we went to England, you ended up connecting with someone over there and you guys just connected straight away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys just met for the first time, but I feel you guys are more connected than some of the people you've known for like 6 or 7 years.
That is so true. And sometimes friendships can always just be out of, you know, one convenience, but also because they've been long-standing relationships or friendships as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where you don't want them to be, you know, you don't want them to go because that person essentially knows everything about you. You know, people sometimes know each other since they were like children.
Yeah. So, but I guess it goes down that path where some people go, oh, like this is a really bad relationship, but we've been together for like 8 or 9 years. That's like, true. What else do I know? This is what I need to do.
It's so hard, eh? It's just to like figure out where to cut it, where not to cut it, and like to actually identify if it's actually affecting you as a person.
Well, I guess that's why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the people who know how to like manage friendships.
Apparently.
We're so good at this. Okay, so let's get into the next segment, which is how to break away from toxic friends or basically anyone who you don't want to be friends with, right? So I think...
So basically, how do you tell them to like piss off?
Yeah, but in a nice way, right?
Okay, cool.
So I think one is obviously having that conversation. It's going to be hard, but you need to have that one stern conversation and you'll feel better about it. That's the only way you can probably get closure from you not talking to that person, or which is something that I did and I never actually had that conversation. And what happened was that we just drifted away. So I never spoke to that person. They never spoke back to me because they never did speak to me or didn't do anything anyway. That I just stopped initiating. I stopped talking to them. And I mean, you might not get closure, but that was fine by me. Like I moved on because I obviously wasn't getting much from that person anyway to begin with, right? So if I was to just close myself off and just drift away, it didn't really impact me and my life didn't really change, to be honest.
And vice versa, which is why no one, you know, followed up with each other. No, you're like, oh my God, you didn't call me. And I think that it was very mutual.
Yeah.
But even in that case, I think that's where a lot of people sort of think about it negatively. Mm. Like you're going, oh, like, you know, we're not friends anymore. But the reality is your life didn't really change after that person left. And for them, they obviously didn't change either. Otherwise, they would have followed up with you. Yeah. So I think that's still positive. I think you're still, you know, drifting away. You're doing your own thing, but you have well wishes for each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, if you're in that situation, you can think about it, if you want to have that conversation. But if you think you're not going to really get anything out of having that conversation, or if they don't really mean much to you, then you wouldn't have a conversation, right?
Yeah,
you just drift away.
Yeah, and not only that, but the only point I'll add is you would need to have a conversation if one person felt like that, but the other didn't.
Yeah.
If you both feel mutually about it and you sort of go drift your own ways, well, you've probably avoided having a shitty situation or shitty conversation, right?
Yeah, true. Secondly, you could perhaps speak with your friends and see if they're feeling the same thing as well, especially if you've got like a close friend circle, or get your friends to talk to that person whom they may be closer to.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't go down that path.
Really?
You know,
I feel like in the girls like group, we've done that before.
Okay.
And, you know, we have had that conversation where one of the guys or one of the girls in the group has had that conversation. And look, the end result was that it actually still never worked.
Okay, right. Right. I would probably see it from that perspective where, again, it might be a girl guy thing. But for us, it's more like, dude, do you guys like see the same thing? And they're going to go, yeah, we probably do. So then it's worthwhile me having a direct conversation with that person versus I'm going to have two conversations, or these two people are going to have a conversation with that person on my behalf. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be upfront, have that conversation. But again, that comes down to a personality type as well.
Yeah. But then, you know how you said that a few of you guys would agree that that relationship or that friendship isn't good, and then you all like back away.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a situation that you may say that to the friend group and they say that, oh, you know, they may agree with you, you know, face value, but they still maintain a relationship with that friend.
Oh, well, that's up to them. They can maintain whatever they want. As long as you don't want them in your five, that's fine.
But then why would they agree at face value?
Well, I don't know about that, face value and who's being fake. You get rid of all the friends then. I don't like fake people, you know, hidden agendas.
Yeah.
You know, if you're saying one thing to me, saying something else to another person in the group, I think you're better off getting rid of the entire group.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Then you have no friends.
Then you make new friends.
Yeah. Okay. And what about people who don't realize that something is wrong and they don't realize it until it's gotten the better of them? What advice would you have to give someone like that?
Well, again, I think this comes down to a personality type. For me, I would rather be upfront, have that conversation. And if they don't actually realize, that's probably a good way to have that, approach it.
What if you don't realize that you don't, you know, this is a toxic friendship and you still stick through it?
Well, then I'd expect people around me to let me know that.
And if you don't have that close knit of a friend,
then you need to get rid of everyone.
Oh, gosh. But how are you meant to know
Return
that?
Return to answer B.
Oh, my God. It's like a never ending circle. Like, I don't understand.
No, I think, you know, you sort of, it gets complicated as you go through, and you can't cover everyone's situation or every relationship you're going to ever have. I think the main point or key takeaway I have from this is that if your personality is like mine, you're probably better off just having a really decent conversation up front. And your chances are, if you're feeling it, the other person's feeling it too. It becomes difficult if they don't feel it and you feel it. That's going to be a shittier conversation. But overall, I think it's, if you feel like you're not entirely happy with the five people around you, then you need to start actively taking accountability and trying to find who else can come into that space. It sounds shit, but you're going to have to replace some of those people you don't like with people you do like.
Yeah, that's fair.
What is your biggest takeaway from all of this?
I think for me, it's obviously taken a while for me to realize this, because what I used to do was, obviously with my close-knit friend circle, I used to expect them to be like my everything, as in I could talk to them about anything. And yes, I can talk to them about anything and everything, but I can't talk to them about certain things because they may just not have that intel. They may not be doing it actively in their day-to-day lives.
Plus, they might not be interested.
They may not be interested as well. And that's totally fine. And I've sort of had that expectation that they would, you know, help me and, you know, grow with me, or, you know, give me ideas and whatnot, which is fine. Like, I don't need to expect that from someone, whereas I should be comfortable enough to look at other friends and see if they can sort of fill that gap or that hole.
Well, yeah, it might be that having different circles for different things.
Yeah.
Surrounded by those interests or centered with
those interests. And it's not like, you know, one person's going to have all your answers for everything. Yes, you might find that one person that knows everything about you and can help you with every aspect of your life. But there are lots of friends that can't do that. And, you know, it's fine by that as well. Like, they serve one purpose, whereas another friend could serve another purpose. And that's totally fine. And that's sort of what I've realized as well.
And no, it's a really good point. And I guess I'll finish on this is, you know, my friends are like really close. They probably, you know, cover most aspects in my life, but I don't have conversations with them about Pokemon cards, right? Yeah. And I've got a different community or different friend circle for those types of things.
It's interesting that you say that, actually. So you don't have any friends specifically that you talk about Pokemon cards with, right?
Yeah, correct.
It's more of an online community.
That's
a Facebook group or like a Discord or whatever it is.
Correct. And I think that's where I sort of come away with, I could have one-on-one conversations, and there's been people out of those groups that have messaged me separately to go, oh, cool, you know, let's chat about this and that, right? But primarily, it happens through a community online, which is why I think this excuse that, oh, I can't make friends, it's like, dude, you're sitting at home, you can join all these Facebook communities, you can find people because people have similar interests. You just got to go looking for it.
That's it. Similar interests, that's where it's at. Like, I think once you find someone that's got a similar interest to you, you're instantly going to click with that person and resonate a lot better with them than maybe your current friends.
100%. Yeah. It's been a good episode. I think we even found ourselves, you know, sort of figuring out our friend circles and what we're interested in, what we're not interested in.
Yeah, we've been like, you know, trying to analyze our friend groups for the last couple of months, maybe years as well. And I've just realized that, you know, one person or one friend group that you've had for a very long time sometimes can't satisfy all your sort of
interests,
basically.
That's fair. That's pretty much it from us, guys. If you guys have enjoyed this, definitely leave a review. You know, that's going to mean the world. It gives us oxygen to keep going and keep bringing out episodes. If you guys have enjoyed it, I mean, it takes like literally 10 seconds. Smash that 5-star button. And then, I guess we'll catch you guys next week, right?
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening. Have a lovely week ahead. Bye.
See you guys.